call this special meeting of Amherstburg Town Council to order. Is there any disclosure of pecuniary interest? Okay, seeing none, we will get right to item 3.1. Rebecca?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The purpose of this statutory public meeting is for the town to hear public comments on an application for a zoning bylaw amendment from Sean P. Green for property located at 2376 Front Road North. Following the statutory public meeting, administration will bring forward a report summarizing the public comments received here tonight. The portion of the property that is subject to the rezoning is in irregular shape, approximately 830 feet west of County Road 20, with 205 feet of width and 575 feet of depth, with a total area of 2.5 acres. The area subject to the rezoning is an agricultural zone and designation in the center. The remainder of the property is designated wetland to the west, adjacent to the Detroit River. The subject property is also zoned R1 Type A zone and designated low density residential on the easternmost portion of the lake. An investigation was undertaken on June 13th and 14th as a result of a bylaw enforcement complaint. The investigation revealed that there were 4 infractions of the zoning bylaw. In order to comply with issued by the town, the property owner was directed by bylaw enforcement to consult with administration about achieving zoning compliance for the existing use of the site. The existing use on the site is a contractor's yard, as depicted in the aerial photography. The application for rezoning was submitted following the complaint to address several matters. 2 of the other infractions of the zoning bylaw have also been addressed. Administration determined that the operation and expansion of the existing contractor's yard in the property would also require an amendment to the zoning bylaw. For council's consideration and of note, even if the contractor's yard was a legal use in the zoning bylaw, due to the significant expansion in the last 10 years, the Planning Act requires a zoning bylaw amendment to address this matter when there's a significant expansion to a legal non-conforming use. So the application is twofold tonight. It's to request legalization of the existing use and also recognize the requested significant expansion of the use on the lands. Zoning amendments are also required for the following reasons: to permit an amendment to the general provisions, section 3, which restricts the number of employees in a rural home occupation to no more than 2, the owner is requesting the opportunity to have 10 employees on the site. To permit an amendment to the general provisions, which states that a rural home occupation may be located within an accessory building to the main residential or agricultural use and shall be restricted to 930 square meters, which is 10,000 square feet. Open storage is to be calculated in with that restriction at 930 square meters. The applicant is requesting that the business be permitted as existing at approximately 0.5 of an acre with 2 acres of open storage. Administration can confirm that the business appears to be in existence on the lands since the inception of the aerial photography, which ours dates back to the year 2000. That's the one that council is looking at right now, I believe, is the date of 2000. A legal non-conforming use must have been legally established prior to the passing of the bylaw and is legally allowed to continue as a use even if it is not permitted. It is the applicant's responsibility, though, to provide proof of legal non-conforming status. There has been no confirmation that the business was legally established. The applicant was under the belief that his father, the original owner of the contractor's yard, had permission from council to have the contractor's yard on the property. However, after an extensive search by administration through council meeting minutes and Anderton bylaws, we have not been able to substantiate or provide clarity in this regard. For council's consideration, there are several policy considerations this evening. Firstly, all planning decisions must be in conformity with the provincial policy statement and the town's official plan. existing business from a planning policy perspective in a rural home occupation in the agricultural zone. This type of use is to be farm-related and secondary to the main agricultural use of the lands. Rural home occupations in the agricultural zone must comply with many provisions, including number of employees and size restrictions. Rural home occupations cannot create or become a public nuisance, particularly with regard to noise, traffic, emissions, and parking. The contractor's yard, if permitted as proposed, will be subject to site plan control in accordance with the town site plan control bylaw and a building restriction agreement. The use of the land as the contractor's yard will be limited to as it presently exists on the lands at 2.5 acres. The next policy consideration for council's consideration is section 7.3, the policies for non-conforming uses from the town's official plan. A non-conforming use, as referred to in the official plan, means an existing land use which is not permitted in the land use designation in which it is located. Well, it would be better if such uses would cease to exist in the long run and be replaced by uses that are permitted. Such action may be unnecessary and cause hardship on the owner. Well, there is a reasonable degree of harmony with neighboring conforming uses, in council's judgment, the non-conforming use can be permitted by an amendment through a zoning bylaw without amending the official plan. The initial factor for council's consideration is whether there would be hardship created if the application was approved. I would suggest there would be significant hardship if the amendment is not approved by council. This would potentially create hardship for this business. The contractor's yard has existed on the property for many years, as we can tell through the aerial photography. The proposed expansion is supposed to be minor in nature. I've discussed the future operations on the site with the business operator, and he feels that he'll be able to contain his business operations within the 2.5 acres as it presently exists. The characteristics of the existing use and proposed enlargement examined with regard to environmental effects, noise, vibration, fumes, smoke, dust, odors, lighting, and traffic generating capacity. No amendment to the bylaw shall be made if these nuisance factors would be increased and cannot be mitigated. The neighboring uses will be protected where necessary by provisions for landscaping, buffering, screening, setbacks for buildings. The business will be subject to site plan control and a building restriction agreement. Provisions will be included in these agreements to ensure protection of impacts on the environment, managing the number of employees on the site, and the hours of operation are all matters that have been discussed with the property owner and can be addressed through site plan control. As noted in the correspondence from IRPA, the existing contractor's yard is located within 120 meters of a provincially significant wetland. Section 2.1.8 of the provincial policy statement says that development and site alteration shall not be permitted on adjacent lands to natural heritage features unless the ecological function of the adjacent lands has been evaluated and it has been demonstrated that there will be no negative impacts. Further, IRPA notes that the area which is subject to the PSW may also contain habitat of threatened and endangered species. It is the proponent's responsibility to exercise due diligence and ensuring all matters related to the Provincial Endangered Species Act have been addressed. When considering the risk to the municipality, the use of a contractor's yard in an agricultural and residential area may result in increased noise and nuisance complaints from neighbors. The Licensing and Enforcement Department has already received at least one complaint that we know of regarding extensive truck traffic that frequents the subject lot. However, if the contractor's yard is required to cease to exist on the subject lot, there will be hardship on the property owner. The contractor's yard has existed in previous harmony with neighboring residents for over 30 years. A site plan control agreement can be used to limit the open storage on the property, restrict the working hours, and have consideration for the neighboring residents. notice of public meeting was circulated and published in the local newspaper and to agencies and property owners as required. Correspondence was received from three neighbors to the north of the subject lands in favor of the rezoning. These emails are attached to council's planning report this evening as pages 61 and 62 in your agenda. Page 63 of your agenda, there is a letter of support from a neighbor located at 2360 Front Road North. This property is south of the subject lands. Mr. Mayor, if you would prefer, I can summarize the comments from IRCA, but they're quite extensive comments, but if you would prefer, I can start to go over those comments now.
Can we just summarize them then?
If it's okay with you, I'll let them stand, but I'm just going to get to the point of their recommendations. There's a series of recommendations. IRCA's recommendations request the establishment of a conservation easement to be registered on the title, depicting the current extent of the PSW on the property. Their second request is the establishment of a site-specific wetland zone to reflect the currently the current delineation of the provincially significant wetland. They're asking that agricultural uses be removed from the wetland zone in this case. Request the location of the barrier fence to be formally recognized and registered against the lands through an agreement on title. IRCA is requesting the fence, if council approves the zoning bylaw amendment, require confirmation from the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry that the current extent of the provincially significant wetland can be adjusted to reflect the proposed location of the barrier fence. Comments were also received from the Public Works Department and from the Building Department. These are contained in pages 57 and 56 as well. Page 60 provides the fire department's comments. And again, Mr. Mayor, I can go over these comments if you prefer.
I think everybody's had an opportunity to read them, so unless anybody's got any questions, I don't think we need to.
Okay. This concludes my comments.
Councilor Courtney?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to Rebecca. Rebecca, IRCA would request, are these requests or are they conditions that must be met before they will give approval?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Tim Birdie from IRCA is here this evening, but they did put them through as requested conditions that council approves the zoning bylaw amendment. These are matters that can be addressed at a later stage through site plan control. The owner is aware and we have been working with him to address each of these requests. The fence, in fact, he's already installed the fence to delineate the extent of the provincially significant wetland adjacent to the contractor's yard. So again, Mr. Birdie from IRCA is here this evening, but they are requested conditions of approval.
These are recommendations for conditional approval. And as Rebecca had said, we're happy to work through some additional details and finalize some of these things through a site plan control agreement.
But is there a follow-up?
Yes, there is.
Okay, Councilor Malach.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Rebecca, it's been commercial activity on the property for a number of years. It continues to be commercial activity on the property. Has it ever been a legal entity or legal activity on the property? From what I gather, it's been illegal activity for many years.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, according to our research, we cannot find that the business was ever legally established from a zoning perspective. We cannot confirm that. purpose of the amendment, I would suggest tonight, is to consider and support the legalization of the existing use and to also recognize the expansion of the business that's over there.
Further to a conversation you and I had earlier about zoning agricultural, some other variation of agriculture, we'll call it. We're allowing commercial property, a commercial entity or businesses to operate on agricultural properties. We acknowledge it's commercial. Why wouldn't we take that next step and just make that property commercial and collect tax on the basis of a commercial property?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the individual, the property owner is paying a commercial tax rate for, they are.
They are, okay.
And they have been for a long time.
Okay.
The property will remain in an agricultural zone because the designation of the lands is agricultural. But what we're proposing is to put them into a site-specific agricultural zone only for the 2.5 acres where the business exists.
Thank you.
Councilor Price?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to follow up to the question that was just posed, Rebecca, so records back from 100 days, we don't know if that, I think on the tax roll, how far does it go back that they've been paying commercial tax? Past the amalgamation?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. We were provided by the property owner that the taxes, the commercial taxes, goes back to 1991 on the property.
So before amalgamation, 100 days?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, we don't have a record of it, but there could have been something that allowed that property to go into that commercial, that section, commercial, but there's just nothing the town can find in its own archives, correct? Other than a tax roll.
The tax information is the only information that substantiated the transition, the recognition by MPAC of the business operating there.
So, just to follow up on that, if there's a commercial entity on the property that's being taxed by MPAC, the town doesn't, or a resident just can't say, I want a commercial property zoning now. Something has to come through the town in order to allow for that to happen, correct?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, zoning and taxes don't function together. They function separately. We can't find evidence where the property was ever rezoned to recognize and permit the legalization.
But there was a commercial entity happening there since 1991, before
yes.
Amalgamation with the MPAC.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Councilor Levine?
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I've known about the Adrian's business since I was in high school. I used to work for a company that worked with them doing directional boring, so I just think it's a housekeeping issue that we've been made aware of through a single complaint that's already been addressed. So, I mean, I don't have a problem with this. They're long-standing in the community, so I'll move the recommendation as it is presented.
Second, Councilor Pryor. And any further questions? Councilor Pryor?
The extent of when will this report come back to council for the bylaw?
Through your worship, with the Hadrian property, we have this report and we have another report that needs to come. The goal is to get it for the next council meeting. We have a special meeting on August 30th. And we would like to bring both matters forward for council to approve both at the same time.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Councilor Pusher?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to Rebecca. Rebecca, you said that there were no objections, correct?
That is
only,
correct. Three
only the one previous regard, and that's what, like the,
yes, that's
the
correct.
Investigation into that property.
There were no formal objections.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, all those in favor? Carried. And motion to adjourn. Councilor Melange, Councilor Pryor, all those in favor? Carried.